Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to be with you again. Mr. Garrett was talking about how I had a problem and how confused I was, and I want to let you know, Mr. Garrett, that I believe you are the one that is confused here, and you have a serious problem. In the questions I asked you, number two was, is an unregenerate, unjustified, elect person ever in jeopardy of losing his soul? Now, from that, he answered no, so I would assume if he's not in jeopardy of losing his soul, it must be saved. And then you were talking about us being chosen unto salvation. If that is true, then a man would be saved before he has faith and before the new birth. Now, he may want to work on that one a little bit, but that's the conclusion you would come to. If he's not in jeopardy of losing his soul, he should be described as being saved. And so that would mean he's saved before faith and before the new birth. And that certainly contradicts what the Scripture says. I would also like to say to you and express this to you, I'm not an Arminian. He has spent a lot of his time talking about Arminianism and that kind of thing. I don't follow that particular individual to which he refers, nor do I follow Alexander Campbell. He mentioned Alexander Campbell. I'm not following him. I simply want to do what the Scriptures say in that regard. He mentioned 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 179, Don. 179. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he said, and his point here was that this is individual election. God, before the foundation of the world, elected specific individuals, and that unconditionally. I don't believe 2 Thessalonians 2 proves that, however, if you look at this passage with me. In 2 Thessalonians 2, we're going to find the same thing we find in Ephesians 1, this class of persons. Notice with me in verse 12, this is a class of persons, just like we found in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9 there. He says, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perished because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them. There is a class of persons, unbelievers versus believers. That's what I've already told you. He mentions them, those, them, strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Who refers to those who are unbelievers? And so God, before the foundation of the world, predetermined that those who chose unbelief would not be saved. But you know, when we come to verse 13, he just contrasts that with the believing class. And so in verse 13, he says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Notice that, brethren, who does you refer to? I think you can understand this. You, brethren, beloved of the Lord, that would be those who are in him, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. Notice, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. When do we become those who are the chosen of God? When we are in the elect body. And so he says, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of glory. The contrast here is between believers and unbelievers. Again, notice that contrast, 180. We have the unbelieving class because they believe not the truth, verses 9 through 12. The believing class, seeing they had believed the truth. That's the contrast, 181. We have those who perish. They did not receive the love of the truth, that they should believe the lie. They all may be condemned who did not believe the truth. And then in verses 13 and 14, for you brethren, again, those who are in Jesus, God from the beginning chose you. Who? Brethren. He called you by our gospel. They were chosen because they were in the body of Christ. Now, Mr. Garrett also told us that God redemptively loves all men, but then he kind of hedged on me on what kind of love exactly is that. And he gives faith to certain ones and not to others in a miraculous, irresistible way. How is it that God redemptively loves all men? Explain that a little bit further to me. and I would appreciate it. All right. Again, we have this problem of him saying that we are saved, apparently, if they're not in jeopardy of being lost, before they're in him. Now, we're saved when we are in Christ. We're not saved before we're in Christ. We're the chosen of God when we are in Christ. And yet that doesn't seem to be what Mr. Garrett is saying to us. We have a chosen class. And that's what the scripture would indicate. God predetermined who he would choose. And what he predetermined is all those who would accept him by faith. And those would be the chosen of God. I want to go to your number four, if I can. Mr. Garrett's number four. This was, I believe, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Oh, that made me complicate everything. Here we are. Why the difference? Now, Mr. Garrett, first of all, this passage is actually talking about miraculous spiritual gifts in the context. It seems that you're misapplying it in this way, but I'll go ahead and grant that as far as being able to discuss this. And I think what you were trying to say, and he made an appeal. He said, you know, what is the difference? As if I was saying that somehow I've earned salvation or somebody else has earned salvation because they have chosen to believe. What makes the difference between you? I'm not earning salvation. I'm not meriting salvation because I obey the gospel. What is the difference? Christ makes us different. Christ makes us different when we submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If the gospel had not been revealed, we would not have had any hope, Mr. Garrett. And so my point to you is, a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they submit their heart to it in obedience to the gospel. There's nothing meritorious. There's nothing in which they are earning salvation in that. And when you look over in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, to go along with that 1 Corinthians 4 passage, this is exactly what we've been trying to express. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now that's what all that Ephesians 1 teaching was about. In Christ, it's in him that I enjoy this status. It's in him that I enjoy salvation. It's in him that I have fellowship with God. And so, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so it is in Jesus that we enjoy these particular blessings. Number five, you're number five as well. Number five. Yes, there you go. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not choose individuals, but we are members in particular in the body. When I am in the body, I enjoy the blessing of what God chose in the provision of the Lord's body and the Lord's church and fellowship with him. And so I'm not denying that as individuals there is the enjoyment of being the chosen of God within the family of God. The question is, how do we as individuals enjoy that status? God, before the foundation of the world, chose us, that class of persons who would be in that body. Acts 2:47 tells us of God's choice of those who would obey. The Lord adds unto the church daily such as were being saved. And so we are blessed individually in the body. And that was the choice, that is, of the elect body that God made before the foundation of the world. And that's why Ephesians 1 says, in him, in him, in him. And so when we come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, And in verse 27, and you know, I put this passage up here, ladies and gentlemen, but I'd be happy for us to look at it again. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so that's an important distinction that has to be made. And so we were told that this idea, and there was a lot of talk, by the way, of God foreseeing who would have faith and all of that. It seems like Mr. Garrett is responding to another position other than one that I have. He responds a little bit to mine, and then he's going to respond to that other one. Well, again, I'm not an Arminian. And so I'm asking him to respond to what I say, not what other folks have said in that regard. All right. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, the first chapter. And let's go through that. 144. Again, election in Christ must be understood as the election of God's people. That's why when we look at Ephesians chapter 1, and we see this phrase in Him over and over, that point is being made. Election in Christ must be understood as the election of God's people. The us there are believers. Only as members of that community do individuals share in the benefits of God's gracious choice. Now let's go on to 145. Actually, 146. When I talked about the word predestined, what is it that God predestined? He predestined that all those who would choose faith and be in Him. There's nothing meritorious about that. We glory in the Lord. It means properly to set bounds before, to predetermine. Again, I told you it was a geographical term. What did God predestine? To bestow blessings on those who would be in Him. He also decreed that we have the ability to choose faith. And so the question is whether or not we're going to enter the body. There's nothing we're earning. There's nothing meritorious. There's nothing like that. We give the glory and the honor and the praise to our Messiah who died for us and who shed His blood. Without Him, we would have absolutely no hope. Again, let's look at 153 and try to emphasize this to you. Yes, individuals enjoy the blessing of having a chosen status, but it's in the body of Christ. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now you are the body of Christ. It's that body that was predetermined. When we're in that body, that's where we enjoy these things. And again, we notice 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in that very thing. 154. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus. The blessed class, the us. Who are the us in this context? You would have to say they're believers. The chosen class, 155. The faithful in Christ Jesus. They are the adopted class. Now I want you to look at this passage with me. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4 with me. And let me ask you to do this. Look at what it says. Without reading anything else into it, just look at what it says. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, it's interesting to me that Mr. Garrett has told us that being chosen is a spiritual blessing. And yet, he is saying that we're chosen before we come into Him by faith. Now, if that is the case, why does this say in Christ? If being chosen is a spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Are we in Christ before we believe? Are we in Christ before we trust in Him? He's already said being that chosen status is a spiritual blessing. This says it is in Him. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen, I understand that phrase, according as He hath chosen us, believers, in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So we're the blessed class, the chosen class, the adopted class, and we are the accepted class. in Christ, the chosen sphere is in Christ. 156. Again, in Him. In Him. When are we in Him? We're in Him by faith. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us, that's believers, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will. You remember we went over there to Ephesians 3 and made the point that when you look at this language, it is very similar language to the description of the church. I almost got the feeling that that was being mocked in some way. But when you look at Ephesians chapter 3, you read about the mystery being revealed. You read about it being according to the eternal purpose of God. That describes the in Him status, the chosen status, because we are in Him. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, the type of people, the class of people. We see it in Ephesians, the third chapter as well, 158. We notice this again, all things being gathered together in Christ. And when you look at Ephesians 2:12, and let's do that, you look at chapter 2 and verse 12, and you know, how could Paul say what he said in verse 12 to these folks about the moment in life when they had not been converted to Christ and they were outside of the body of Christ? If they were never in jeopardy of being lost, then how could he say you were without hope? You know, if you're never in jeopardy of being lost, how could that statement be made? They were full of hope. They couldn't be lost. And yet Ephesians 2:12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, which takes us back to that Ephesians 1 argument. This community, one body, look at chapter 2 and verse 16. And by the way, notice the distinction here in chapter 2 and verse 16, that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. It's through the means of the cross, but it's in one body. That's important. There's a distinction between those ideas. That it's in one body by the cross. When are we the chosen of God? When are we the chosen of God? When we enter into that body that He elected before the foundation of the world. And so He says exactly that in verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Chapter 2 and verse 19 again describes this class and this group. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. That's who we're talking about. Before that they were without hope, but now in that they enjoy these spiritual blessings. In chapter 2 and verse 21, in whom, there we are again, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 155. We go back to Ephesians 1 and then we compare it with Ephesians 3. We have God's wisdom. We have the mystery of His will. We have good pleasure. We have God's eternal purpose. All of those concepts are attributed to being in that body, and that's what he's talking about when he mentions in Him. All right. 163. Again, yes, this is conditional as far as us coming into the body. There are conditions of that. God predestined that relationship. God predestined that sphere. God predestined that it would be in Him. God predestined the conditions as far as what they would be. And when I meet those conditions, I enjoy that status. And Ephesians 1:30, in Him you also trusted. All these folks that are being described as the chosen, again, go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him. God before the foundation of the world chooses the class of persons before the foundation of the world. Now we have believed, we are that class of persons in the body of Christ, that we should be holy and without blame. He says, in Him you also trusted. In Him you also trusted. There's nothing meritorious in that. Can anybody choose to trust in Jesus? And what about all the people in the world? Mr. Garrett said the non-elect can't be saved. He doesn't have an opportunity to be saved, which is going to be most of the folks, apparently. And he's defending the God of grace and mercy. He says they were included into God's chosen people. They were in Christ, 164. The head in the class, the body of Christ, that is the church, the type of person, the obedient. And by the way, friends, when you talk about living by faith and the idea of being a believer, it's not just a one-time act. It is a way of life. So he predetermined that's the type of person that will be saved. The obedient will become members of that chosen family. Those who make their calling and election sure. Well, how do they do that if it's unconditional? And we heard a lot about conditions. I think it's a fair point to make that you have a passage that says, make your calling and election sure. Now, what that does not mean is that you just kind of appear to do this. No, he says, make your calling and election sure. Is that a reality? Peter seems to think that it was a reality. You know, when we look at Ephesians 1 and this decision before the foundation of the world, 165, we see the wisdom. Did God plan it before the foundation of the world? Sure. But all individuals who hear have the gospel available to them. Again, they don't earn anything in that. They hear it and can render obedience to the gospel. Ephesians 3:11 says that this manifestation of the Lord's church was according to the eternal purpose of God. That's the in him in Ephesians 1. What was it? The chosen would be holy and without blame in Christ. The class, believers, would be adopted as sons. The plan is according to God's good pleasure. That's what brings God pleasure. And that's what he said. 166, who are they? They are the faithful in Christ. Look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Throughout this, he describes this class of persons, the kind of people. Again, you have to choose if you're going to be this kind of person. That's why the invitation of the gospel is made available to all. He says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We find out that it would be those in Christ's body. That's where it is. You see that in Ephesians 1, 1 through 13, over and over and over and over him saying in him. By grace through faith, we're baptized into the chosen family of God, and we enjoy all spiritual blessings there. Now, we've already been told that being in that chosen status is a spiritual blessing, but all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and the only way to get in Christ is by an obedient faith. Now, think about that. If being chosen is a spiritual blessing, and in order to have all spiritual blessings, we have to be in him. How does that work out for Mr. Garrett? 167. Elect or chosen? Again, yes. Is it unconditionally? No. Is it individually? No. Does it violate free will? No. Are we predestined? Did God predestine that those who would be believers would be his children? Yes. Was it unconditional? No. Was it individual? No. Did it violate free will? No. 168. Now again, my question, number one, was pretty simple. Is being chosen of God a spiritual blessing? Mr. Garrett said yes. He said being chosen of God, I appreciate him answering that way. Is being chosen of God spiritual blessings? But again, all spiritual blessings, friend, are in him. And we're not in him before we exercise faith. Because that's the class of persons that he predestined would be those who are in him. God did not choose individuals, but individuals are chosen when they are in the chosen body. And that's why all of those descriptions in the New Testament of those in the body are that they are the chosen of God. And you look at this chart. Again, outside of Jesus, no spiritual blessings. We're not chosen outside of Jesus. It's our union with the chosen one. We're not children of God outside of that. We're not accepted outside of that. We're not redeemed outside of that, or forgiven, or have a heavenly inheritance. It is inside Christ that we have saved. Again, remember that Ephesians 2 passage. They were without hope. They didn't just look like they were without hope. They were without hope. All spiritual blessings are in Jesus, though. And when they came into Jesus, they had all spiritual blessings and enjoyed those things. How do we get from that hopeless state to a state full of hope? By faith in Jesus Christ, by belief in Christ. And by the way, we have passages like Romans 6 and Galatians 3 and Acts 2. Now, my point here is not to get into an argument, since we're talking about unconditional election, about baptism per se, but for you to see that there was a condition of coming into Christ. Galatians 3 says we are baptized into Christ, into Christ. And so if all spiritual blessings are in Christ and being chosen is a spiritual blessing, we're not chosen until we get in Jesus from that standpoint. And that was the eternal purpose and plan of God. It is in a predestined spirit. I believe what Ephesians 1 says. I just believe Mr. Garrett's interpretation, because of the doctrine that he and the place he occupies doctrinally, is wrong. Does the Bible talk about predestination and election and God making a choice before the foundation of the world? Sure it does. Do we enjoy as individuals being the chosen of God? Yes, but where? In the body. In the body. And not outside of the body. I hope you'll think about this very seriously. Thank you for your good attention.